Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this March the 14th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. It's a Thursday, so we have a co-host with us. How you doing, Mr. Reimnitz, Pastor Reimnitz, Reverend Reimnitz?
Well, I'm one of those, if not all of those.
Yes.
Good to hear your voice with the storm and everything.
You got a storm up there also?
Oh, boy. It's finally starting to clear out, but you know how you can get a deep, deep blue in the sky from the storms? Well, we had it.
Really? High wind we had here in St. Louis.
Lots of rain here. The wind is starting to pass over now towards the east. They're getting it.
Yeah, I heard a bunch of noise outside our house. And I sent my wife Louise out to check it out. But it was raining, so she just could look out through the front door and didn't see anything. So once it slows down a bit, we'll take a look to see if anything happened on the roof again.
Is this a sign of the end of the world, all of these storms?
Everything is a sign of the end of the world, even when we don't have a storm. Because Jesus said he could come back at any time.
It's just like a road mark, man. It reminds us to be ready for him when he comes.
Yes, and today, being a Thursday, we got an email. The gentleman's name is Rob Bernmoski, and the title is very interesting, Why We Need a Crucified and Risen Savior. Now, there's no doubt we believe that Jesus was crucified and he rose from the dead. But what Rob does is he uses Bible verses to show our need for that crucifixion and the resurrection. And one of the first Bible verses he uses is from Genesis chapter 3. How would you describe what he's talking about?
Well, he's talking in Genesis 3, the account of humanity's fall into sin through Adam's transgression and the place where redemption and salvation came necessary. It makes, I think, an important point that prior to Genesis 3, we did not need a crucified and risen Savior because there was no sin.
Yes. There is no salvation for the devil and the demons. Remember, the devil did exist, even in the Garden of Eden, prior to the sin of Adam and Eve.
But we believe that the fall of the devil and the evil angels was somewhere between the completion of creation and the fall of man into sin.
Well said. But when sin entered the world through the devil and the fall of Adam and Eve, everything changed. What did it require?
Well, if humanity was to be rescued from destruction and death, the only solution to the problem of sin was a crucified and risen Savior.
Yes. And a lot of people cannot understand how that is so. But what did God say to the serpent in Genesis 3:15?
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
Now, I find an interesting word there is the word seed. Is that in the plural or in the singular?
I always took it as the singular.
Well, it depends which one you're talking about. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed. That's plural. Because it's the seed of the devil, those who follow him. And then between the seed of the woman, her seed. And how do we know that's in the singular, even in the English? What's the word after seed? What's the word after seed?
After seed. I lost you there.
Well, look at the passage again.
He shall bruise you on the head.
So what's the word?
He.
He, not they. In other words, when we're referring to the seed of the woman, it's a singular, he. And who is that he?
Well, that he is Christ.
Yes.
You know, the class ring that we have from the seminary that we can get for as pastors, on the one side it's got the cross, and underneath it, it's got the snake, and it refers to Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, I never got that ring. Did you get it for free when you graduated?
Are you kidding? I had to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still wear it?
Oh, yeah. A lot of guys wear theirs, and it kind of rubs off. It rubs off, but I wore mine like on Sundays or special events when I was doing my pastoral work.
And did people recognize I was Genesis 3:15?
You'd be surprised. It became quite a conversation starter to talk to people about.
Now, it says that in this Genesis 3:15, you shall bruise him on the heel. What is that referring to?
Is that referring to his crucifixion?
Yes. That he was going to be wounded. But on the other hand, what's going to happen to the devil?
Well, in Matthew 25, it says there that God created the lake of fire, eternal fire, for the devil and his evil angels.
But what does it say in Genesis 3:15?
Well, he should bruise you on the head.
Now, what's the difference between bruising on the head and bruising on the heel?
You know, I never thought of it that way.
Well, how do you kill a snake?
Well, you club it on the head.
Exactly. And how do you wound a person?
You bruise him.
Yes, on the heel.
There's that show on Discovery Channel called Naked and Afraid, and they're clubbing snakes so that they can strip them and eat them.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting to note, what was your ring showing again?
You showed the cross. And
that's the bruising on the heel.
Right.
What's the other part?
The that had the snake underneath the cross.
That's the bruising on the head.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the cross, just from Genesis 3:15, is to put to death the power of Satan.
He becomes known as the father of all lies.
Exactly. So that's one verse he likes to look at. And that's Genesis 3:15. Here we have what theologians call the first what proclamation?
Well, it'd be the gospel proclamation.
God, what's the difference between the law and the gospel?
Well, the law shows us that, basically shows us our sins, and the gospel shows us our Savior.
What's the goal of the law?
Well, the goal of the law is to bring about the knowledge of sin.
And particularly, the law says we're supposed to do good works.
Well,
why cannot the law save us, but the gospel does?
Well, the law is something that we ourselves try to do and cannot, whereas
yes,
the gospel is something that's already completed. We've talked about this before, where you take a T account, and on one side you put what man says, and on the other side you put what God says, and on the man side of things is what we do in order to try and inherit salvation. And on the God side, it's already done, and it's done through Jesus.
So the crucifixion was not merely a job done by people against Jesus, but what was it?
Well, it was there for the battle between Satan and Jesus. Satan is the servant of the devil and sought to crush Jesus. But Jesus, through the cross and through the resurrection, crushes Satan and gives to mankind eternal life.
So the crucifixion, although it was enacted by people, it was not their work that saved them. It was the work of Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it. I mean, today we look at it at the cross and as a symbol of life and hope and eternity. But, you know, at the time that Jesus is put to death upon the cross, it was one of the more painful ways to die and have punishment meted out upon a person.
Yes. Now the email goes on, and he talks about four problems caused by sin as presented in Genesis 3, and why we should consider that Jesus had to die and rise again to resolve them. What's the first problem?
Well, the first is, of course, what we just discussed, Genesis 3, that sin entered the world. Humanity believed Satan's lies. Satan becomes the father of all lies. Satan's strategy in the garden was to distort the word of God and call God a liar.
And who believed this lie?
Eve. She was deceived into disobeying God.
Now, Paul wrote in Romans 1:25 that what?
Well, mankind exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So what we are saying is sin entered the world. Humanity fell into deception, no longer believing God's word, but Satan, the father of lies.
And what's the good news of the gospel?
Well, it's that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, destroy his lies and deceit. You know, the world is hostile to God because people believe the devil's lies, that God is out to suppress, harm, and oppress, and stifle humanity. You know, at the cross and Calvary in the empty tomb, however, the lie is completely undone.
Yes. Even Peter writes about this. What does he say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4?
For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature.
This is really an important statement by Peter, that rather than we are saved by magnificent obedience on our part, what are we saved by?
Well, we're saved by his promises, and we are partakers of his divine nature through Christ.
So it's not obedience that saves us, but magnificent promises. God doesn't want any rivals, so he is suppressing the devil. And, of course, the devil says, no, he is suppressing you. God's promise, however, is that the resurrection, that we will be soon made like Jesus, and we will be like with him on all things. When sin entered in the world, what happened to all humanity?
Well, humanity became alienated from God. We considered God an enemy.
And what did we fall into?
Well, we fall into all kinds of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, shame entered into their experience. And intimacy with one another was broken.
So we fell into the devil's deception.
Right. As we said before, he becomes the father of all lies. It looks good at the beginning, but in the end, it causes death. So when he said to Eve, you'll be like God, you won't die. He really meant the truth is you won't die right away.
So the first thing that happened is that we believe Satan's lies. The second thing that happened is we fell into his kingdom and we listened to him. Satan doesn't want us to believe God. And every time he tempts us, it's always including a lie. Very, very important.
And a reminder to us that in John 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through him. You know, our life is found in Jesus.
Yes. What does it mean, our life is found in Jesus? How would you explain that in your life?
Well, that Jesus died and rose again to overcome Satan's lies. that no matter how hard I try during the day not to sin, it enters into my life. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, for Lent you give up something. So I was going to give up sinning.
Yeah.
Didn't even last a second. And then it just washes you through. By ourselves, we can't do it.
In fact, the very thought that you could give up sinning was a sin.
Yeah, that's what I found out and come to realize that only believing in the promises that His blood covers my sins makes a difference. I always keep in mind John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Yes. And another passage that's brought up in the email is 1 Peter 3:18. What does that say?
Well, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit.
There's another example that we are not saved by our works, because Jesus, the just one, dies for whom?
Well, He died once for all.
And what's the word used in 1 Peter 3:18? For whom He died?
The just for the unjust. Christ.
The word
just.
Unjust. So while we were unjust, disobedient, sinners, Christ died for us. So that shows nobody is saved by obedience to the law, because He died when we were disobedient to the law. Very, very important passage.
And, you know, really, I don't, probably was the same for you, but I first came to faith at my baptism when the Holy Spirit was entered into my heart, and I was baptized into the life and death of Jesus Christ.
How old were you?
I probably wasn't even much more than a month old at the time.
Right. Yes, many of us were baptized as infants. And a lot of people cannot understand, how can an infant believe? But if you ask a mother who's been with her newborn child for less than a month, and you ask her this question, does your child trust you? What is she going to answer?
Of course.
Of course. Yes. So that trust occurred in your baptism and continues throughout life.
Yeah, the reason I talk about that baptism and that is, you know, having a deja vu sort of experience going on right now, because my oldest grandchild has just entered into confirmation and is being taught faithfully by his pastor all these passages and the meaning of his baptism and where life is going. And it reminds me of the days of my confirmation when Pastor I had took me through the Bible and talks about my salvation in Christ.
And see, that is what this article is all about. The reason for all of this. In one of my favorite books in the Bible, Galatians, Paul writes what in Galatians 3, verse 13?
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree.
So that is another important point of the crucifixion. Jesus became a curse for us, not because he was a sinner, but because he had taken upon himself our sins to pay for them. Now we begin to understand, as we near Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the real reason why it was necessary that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. Because if he had not risen from the dead, where would he be?
He'd still be in the tomb.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why the promise that he himself made to be raised from the dead in 3 days came true. Because when Jesus speaks, he is God, and God never lies. Thanks so much, Pastor Reimnitz, for helping us with this important document to help people to understand the reason why Jesus had to die and had to be raised from the dead. I'm Tom Baker, and we were glad to help you through this wonderful email. Join with us tomorrow for more on Law and Gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.